Blog Talk Radio.
Armed with a knife in her bosom, gender, violence, and the carceral consequences of rage in the late 19th century. On the evening of May 15th, 1891, Amanda Umble left home in search of her philandering lover, William Jackson. Finding Jackson out with another woman, Amanda pulled him aside and questioned his recent whereabouts. As the pair began to argue, William's date, Effie Jackson, walked towards Amanda, causing tensions to escalate quickly. A confrontation ensued, and Effie was left in a darkened alleyway, stabbed and on the brink of death. Though the trio's encounter lasted mere minutes, the romantic and sexual triangle of two African-American women fighting for the affection of one African-American man that resulted in a murder created a racially publicized scandal in Kansas City, Missouri, and national news that would forever alter their lives. Their fatal meeting provides a rare opportunity to interrogate gendered violence, black female criminality, and the racial environment in 19th century Missouri courts. Often obscured in popular understanding, the history of African American life in Missouri remains primarily centered on slavery, freedom suits, music, race riots, civil rights, labor struggles, social welfare, and urban decay. At the same time, any discussion of race and gender in the state's history is most notably directed towards the 1855 case of the bondwoman Celia, who killed her owner in self-defense against the years of psychological torment and sexual abuse endured for which she was hung. When looking beyond the slavery era, how do we map violence within the lives of African Americans freed from the social control of the plantations and slave regime? What emphasis should be placed on the moments of violent intra-racial conflict? Throughout the post-emancipation era, African Americans moved in and out of various spaces, reconstructing families, seeking economic opportunities, and forging new ties of friendship, love, and community as they set out to live their lives in freedom. With the increase in urban populations due to migration, city officials drafted and many times reinstated judicial codes defining the parameters of acceptable and unacceptable behaviors among its local residents. These laws and policing practices, particularly those enacted against African Americans, extended a prevailing social order commonly found during slavery that was predicated on the policing of black bodies. Thus, in the era of freedom, power shifted out of the private hands of former slave owners and moved instead into the wider domain of the state. Amanda and Effie's contentious encounter allows access to the inner world of the poor and working class African Americans in the late 19th century Missouri, revealing popular urban amusements, fractured relationships, and violent intra-racial confrontations. At the same time, it challenges common perceptions of sisterly bonds and congenial relationships among all African American women, nudging us to more closely consider the tensions, conflicts, and physically violent displays of anger that emerged historically between some African American women. Far from being unusual, Amanda's actions fell within common patterns of rage, eruptive, violent, and plainly visible tensions that, regardless of race or gender, it detonated within households, families, and different communities across historical time and space. The violent jealousy Amanda acted on in hopes of becoming the victor represented an expression, albeit temporary, a power that not only exposed ongoing deception within a broken relationship, but it forced another African-American woman to pay the ultimate price with her life. The Fifth Street incident disrupted three young lives, leaving Effie's family to grieve her loss, William to attempt to rebuild his shattered reputation, and Amanda to confront legal charges of murder and state imprisonment and the prospect of execution. We know little about any of their lives beyond what is available in court documents, trial and prison records, and newspapers, since, like most other African Americans, they did not leave any personal papers or diaries. The story that follows, it offers more than a simple tale of unrequited love. The romantic claims Amanda and Effie made upon William during the spring of 1891, it provides an interesting glimpse into the dating world of young African Americans. However, this essay delves into the consequences of Amanda's alleyway actions to trace how a 21-year-old African American woman charged with murder in 1891 navigated Missouri's legal and penal system. An expanding body of historical scholarship has centered on the lives of women criminalized and forced into carceral spaces. Yet, there's much more to uncover about the treatment of violent female offenders, the traumatic effects of the penal process, as well as the entanglement of gender and race, crime, and the American media. So here, this essay, this time, these words, they frame the legal and the punitive world that Amanda navigated as part of what I define as the pyramid of power. And by pyramid, I mean that vast, hierarchical, and virtually omnipotent structural power held by the state to legally disrupt and upend lives. Amanda moved through the primary layers within this far-reaching system of incarceration, including the police, county holding, criminal court system, state prison, as well as the Missouri Supreme Court. And the killing of Effie Jackson, it publicly cast African-American women as more than homemakers, domestics, and leaders, but also murderers and convicts. However, more than murder, the punitive measures imposed upon Amanda Umble demonstrate the tactics of the state in managing and controlling, quote, unruly African Americans, both female and male, during the post-emancipation period. And through this case, I argue, here we see, and it becomes much more closely revealed, the fragility and thus the cost of freedom for African Americans who, acting out in a disorderly and antisocial manner, were forced to confront the most powerful tool of unchecked control represented by the state. And probing this interlocking system reveals the unyielding power that lay within the 19th century Missouri carceral state to determine the fate, freedom, imprisonment, and or death of those trapped within its domain, including Amanda Umble. And so from this vantage point, we gain a much sharper focus on the multiple decision makers and varied tools of power at the state's disposal. And this also deepens our understanding of gender and crime, the economics of criminality, and the meaning of freedom and unfreedom for a young African-American woman subjected to social and legal persecution as a result of a personal confrontation that turned violent. Thank you.